Before we start, I just want to recommend some Sfarim. None of them are exactly what the Psukim will be here, but some of them are very close, and some of them give you different opinions, and at least you'll be able to mark off which one we follow here or whatever. The one that's closest to what we will be doing here is Dinei Shviyis. That's put out by Karen HaTarbut Degel Yerushalayim. It's basically put out by Rav Efrati's Machon. It comes in Hebrew only and in Hebrew and English. I don't know if it comes in English only. The Hebrew-English one I have is from Tavshim Mem Zayin, which has notes in it that I made over the years. The more recent one was Tavshin Samech, and there's one already now out for the coming year. Each one. What?
Does it change?
Yeah, it changes a little bit. Yeah, it changes.
So we should get
this year's. Get this year's. Get this year's. There are a bunch of things that have been added and whatever, there are changes. Okay, it comes in Hebrew and English, and if you need the English, it's good to get the one with both. Okay, this guidelines by Rav Elazar Barkley and Yitzchak Yeager is also, here he gives mainly different opinions. He doesn't paskin. Tells you their opinions like this, opinion like this, but in the most part, the things that are not difference of opinions are pretty much follow the poskim that we hold from. So this is also a good source.
That's why comments on the back.
What?
That's why his comments on the back.
Yeah, okay, next. I don't get a percentage on every book that's sold.
Not every book.
This one, it was by my machutin, Rav David March, and Shlomi's father-in-law. It's very, no. Here, they get a percentage on every book that they sell. This one, what's it called, is very comprehensive. It's very good. Also, he doesn't paskin. He brings down a lot of different shitas, but it's also pretty close to what in those things. But they're not difference of opinion. What we'll be doing, and the best one, but this is really comprehensive. This is for somebody who knows how to learn Mishpatei Aretz. This is from Efrati's Machon, Rav Reichenberg, and this one has all the notes and all the background. And this one is. The longer version of this short Dinei Shviyis. Okay. What? Is there a new edition? No, okay. I hear. Okay. This one's from last week, I think. This one's from Tavshin Nun Dalet. No, two sheets.
Yeah, so there's already.
I hear. Okay. Okay. So now let's get started. Tonight we're going to learn about. Taking care of house plants. That's not really gardens and house plants. There's going to be a gardener who is hired by the moshav who will make the decisions of what things can be done and what not. If you have a question, what you can do in your garden or not, it should be presented to him. He will speak to me, and then we'll get back to you to tell you what and how you can do, what you want to do or not do, what you want to do. Okay, I'm going to follow this safer just to make it some kind of structure. Okay, if you have the safer and you want to follow along, we're on Perek Dalet. You're not allowed to plant. First, we're going to speak about things outside the house. Okay, this sefer is Dinei Shviyis. The more recent one looks like this. This is the only Hebrew one. Okay, Dinei Shviyis. Okay, right now we're going to the beginning of the shir. We're going to speak about outside gardens. Outside includes even things under a roof, but without walls that are 10 tefachim high. So if you have an outside patio, even if it's roofed, but it doesn't have walls 10 tefachim high, that's considered outside for all practical purposes. Okay, outside, there is no difference between something growing in the ground. Okay, and when I say there's no difference, I mean halachically lemaisa, there's no difference. Okay, Could be the Raisa, the Rabban, and whatever, but that's not Nogaya to you. What's Nogaya to you is, bottom line, is there any difference in what you're allowed to do or not allowed to do? Outside the house, again, even under a roof, but not where there are walls of at least 10 tefachim, which is about a meter high, all around, is considered outside. Outside the house doesn't make a difference if something is in a planter, in the ground, in a planter with a hole in the bottom, without a hole in the bottom, it's all the same halach. And that is the following. You're not allowed to plant anything outside. No planting. You can't do any pruning in your own personal gardens to anything. Pruning, whatever's called pruning, we'll see what the exceptions are. Pruning is also usher. And harvesting your vegetables or whatever should be done in an unusual way, which means the following. You can only harvest at a time as much as you need, either some hold for that day, some hold for 3 days, and some hold the normal amount you would buy of that vegetable and an out in shopping outing. And that's pretty much what you can rely on. The last one. You want to be machmer, you can take, if you, I don't know how many people have vegetable gardens that they actually eat vegetables from.
But this doesn't have to do with fruits also?
Fruits will be later. There's no fruits will not be Shemitah fruits until next summer. Now we're talking about vegetables.
What about herbs? They are the same class of vegetables?
Herbs are also, what's it called? They're vegetables.
Same story.
Yeah. So, harvesting them can only be done in small amounts. And again, you can harvest as much as you would buy in the store at one time. No more than that. And you have to do it l'chatchila with a shinui. If you normally harvest it with a knife, do it with the scissors. If you normally do it with the scissors, do it with a knife. And so on. Okay. Okay. So those are the malachos that are really from the Torah. Planting, pruning, and harvesting. Now the malachos that are also with the Rabbanon. And here there are things that you are will be allowed to do. Okay. Like we said last time, since these things that we're going to mention now are only rabbinic, the rabbis permitted them under two circumstances. One is that if you don't do them, there'll be significant damage, irreparable damage to the plant or to its produce. In other words, a tree, the fruit won't produce. It'll be a significant loss of fruit. Or the tree will be irreparably damaged. That's one thing. And there'll be a loss. There'll be a loss of either the thing may die, or whatever. If there's going to be irreparable damage, right? Or it's something that does not make the tree or the plant better. It just protects it, prevents it from getting worse. It prevents the damage. It doesn't make the plant grow better or produce better or whatever. It just prevents damage. Those are the two conditions. There's going to be an irreparable loss, and what you're doing will avoid, prevent the loss, prevent the damage, but not make the tree or plant grow better. Okay. So, see what some examples of that are. We'll skip now to okay. I said although this we already covered. One second. No questions yet. Okay. Again, you can't plant outside, either in hydroponics is usher, planting in a planter is usher, and not only planting the seeds, but planting a sapling, any kind of grafting is usher. All of that is usher during Shemitah, outside, under all circumstances. Okay. Okay, in addition, plowing is usher outside. And plowing means anything you do to make the ground more fit for planting or for cultivating the things that are planted there. That includes taking stones off the ground, weeding, hoeing. All of that is part of plowing. Okay, now, if you have an area that's not for planting, if you're in a building something, right, and you want to take off the debris, but you're not going to plant there, there's nothing growing there, then if it's obvious that it's an area made for building and there's nothing planted there, you're allowed to take away the stones completely and clear the area for building, for a sukkah, for whatever. But it has to be obvious that that area is not being planted. If you're going to build a sukkah and want to clear the area, you should bring the walls of the sukkah there so it's obvious that you're doing it for the sake of the sukkah and not doing it for plant. But any place that could be planted or whatever, so then to take away the weeds, to take away the stones or whatever, can only be done in a situation where if you leave those weeds, it will irreparably damage the plants that are there. And by taking the weeds away, you're not making the things grow better, you're just taking away the damage. And therefore, if you have weeds in your garden or whatever, so you will speak to the gardener here, and he'll speak to me, and we'll decide what weeds you can take away, what not. Weeds that are being taken away not to help things grow. You have weeds around your house. This is not really no gay in the winter. No gay more in the summer. And there's a chance of fire because of grasses that are overgrown or whatever and weeds that are there. Or there's a chance of snakes. Then we'll permit weeding for that purpose. But there also, the weeding may have to be done in a different way than normal. Instead of uprooting the weeds, it may have to be cut, or better pesticides may be put on it, but not always can pesticides be put on the weeds, depends what kind of weeds they are, what kind of grasses they are, and so that will be decided case by case, what's mutter and what's aser. Okay, weeding the baseball field. Right, the baseball field gets unusable if there's a lot of weeds. It's obviously not a place that is planted. Haven't looked there, but I don't think they have a green grass part of the baseball field. It's all sandlot. Yeah. Since my baseball career ended, I haven't been up there. But I think it's all sandlot, right? So nothing there growing except for weeds that you want to take off. So the weeds on the baseball field can be weeded. However, they shouldn't be uprooted, lechatchila. They should be either cut, or even better, those kinds of weeds are not edible by anybody. Nobody's bringing their animals there to eat them. So there's no shaila of destroying something with Kedusha Shvius. So the best thing is to use weed killer to kill those weeds. Not to uproot them, not to cut them, just put weed killer. Not to burn them?
For purpose.
Yeah, since you can use weed killer, you can burn them too. Yeah, you can burn them. Okay, next. Pruning. Pruning trees to make the tree grow better is 100% usher. It could be even usher in HaTorah on all trees. Could be that it's only usher on grapevines. And everything else is the Rabbanan. But in any case, for your own personal garden, not for agricultural purposes, we are nohag to treat all trees as if it's usher min haTorah, and therefore pruning is never permitted. Even if the tree will die, you can't really prune it. However, there are things that are not called pruning that are surely only drabanan, and then if it'll cause damage to the tree or whatever, it's mutter. If you have things like that where you want to cut away bad decayed parts of a tree during Shemitah, you'll speak to the gardener and he'll speak to me, and then we'll decide what is okay and what's not. The main shaila of pruning will come up Sukkot time when people want to cut schach, which inevitably is also like pruning. So schach will have to be cut in a way that it does, it's that two things. One is that it's obvious you're not doing it for the sake of the tree, you're doing it for the sake of the schach, to get the schach. And secondly, it's not done in a way that benefits the tree. That doesn't mean it has to be done in a way that destroys the tree. So therefore, we will have people who will be in charge of cutting schach from trees on the moshav, who will be instructed how to do it properly, as in order not to be over the halachas of Shemitah and not to destroy the trees on the moshav. So no one should go and cut schach. It will be announced quite a few times before Sukkot. No one should go and cut schach from any tree in the moshav. There will be people who will be appointed and instructed how to do it properly, and the schach will be distributed. Okay? Is that okay?
From private homes too?
What?
At private homes too?
Yep. Private homes? Ask a shaila and we'll tell you how you can do it. Yeah.
From when is it offensive?
From Rosh Hashanah, the minute Rosh Hashanah comes in.
So this month we could still prune trees?
Till Rosh Hashanah you can do whatever you want. Do whatever do whatever you can.
Except
yeah.
Except plant fruit trees.
Yeah. Except
I
plant
have
fruit.
A tree that keeps growing over my merpeset, which is where I put my sukkah.
Right.
To cut that before.
So, preferably do it before Rosh Hashanah, but there are ways of doing that to an overhang or things that obstruct a path. There, it's obvious you're not doing it for the sake of the tree, and you have to do it in a way that doesn't make the tree grow better. Like, for instance, by schach, the best thing to do is to cut it all from one side of the tree, because that surely is not the way that pruning is done. Pruning is done all around the tree evenly. Here you're doing it on one side of the tree. It's obvious you're doing it to get the branches, not to make the tree better. But if you start hacking it away in a way that destroys the tree, and especially if it's not your tree, it's an issur of destruction. If it is your tree, it's baltashchis. So it's not a proper thing to do either. So you don't have to destroy the tree, you just have to not make the tree grow better.
Is there a problem using schach that other people cut down? Let's say not in the moshav, but if they did it with it against halacha, let's say, or you're not sure if they did it against halacha.
What we hold, no. There's a problem of cutting with people, you have permission to use that schach.
Yeah.
You're not stealing somebody else's schach.
Yeah.
You have permission, but you don't know if they cut it down the proper way. It's okay to use it. No more questions. What's going to happen? I will give time for questions, but not now. Okay. Okay, we spoke about this already. Okay, now watering plants outside. Watering plants outside. Let's start with using a computerized watering system that you set up before Shemitah. If you set it up during Shemitah, there's absolutely no difference between using something computerized or doing it by hand. Absolutely no difference. The same halachas will apply. If you set it up before Shemitah, there is a difference of opinion. Rav Eliyashiv holds that it's okay to set up a computerized system before Shemitah, and as long as it never breaks down, you don't have to start it up again. It runs automatically through the entire Shemitah. You don't have to worry about how much water comes out of the system. You can set it for anything you want. My gut feeling is that nothing doesn't break down. And that inevitably, even if you set up the system, you're going to have to readjust it, change it. It's going to break down. You're going to have to reactivate it. And once you do that, it's worthless. Then you can only do what you can do by hand. You can only program it to water exactly what you're allowed to water by hand and nothing more. Now, on the Moshav, since we're talking about Rabin, and I've permitted the gardener to set up a system, a computerized system, that will run with a similar amount of water. He will never have to change it, because once he has to change it, it's not going to help anything. It's going to have to be done exactly, and then it's going to be much, much more problematic. To set up a system where the watering is going to be done on the summer schedule all year round. So there'll be enough water in the summer, and he wants to change it to summer from what the winter normally would be. And since it's being done before Shemitah, there's no limitation on how much watering you can do. It's all being done automatically, just like you can water your grass automatically and set it up before Shabbos, you can do it before Shemitah. There are shitas that hold not like that, but for the tzibur, we're being matter to do it, on the hope that in case something goes wrong, since it's run by the tzibur, we'll be able to control it and make sure that from that point on, we don't use that anymore. and it'll be done by hand.
Just a break in that.
What?
What about making a break in that? For example, if you write a system and have like take a point button, you could push take a day off. If Yom Tov comes out on Tuesday, we only order on Tuesday.
If it can if it can computerize it throughout the year without having to change and touch it again, fine.
No, it's computer the whole year. You can push a button and skip a day.
No, you can't push no buttons. What's it called? Once you push the button, you're activating it again.
No,
during
skip one day.
Yeah.
That's all the button
does.
Skip one day.
You can't do it. It can't make any
change. You can skip it. You can stop it from working altogether. You can not water something one day. But once you start fooling around with it, then to activate it for a day when it was off, that's for sure awesome. If it's not what you could do by hand. So the computer doesn't make it any better, except if it was all set up before Shemitah and not touched again in producing the water and watering the things during Shemitah. So again, for individuals, it's better not to do that. It's better just to do it all by hand. We know nobody has great shtachim over here that they can't do by hand and do it properly. For the Moshav, since it's a big area and it's a big inyan to start getting people to water these things, permitted him to set up the computer, but he understands that if there's any takala, that's it. Then the computer is going to be worthless. So to make a big investment for the sake of Shemitah, and then after 3 days there's a hafsakat chashmal, and you have to set it on again, and all your whole investment for Shemitah is gone, finished. Yeah?
We set up a computerized system before the last Shemitah, like it said, as long as it was running and we never touched it. We could do that. So could we not do that now? Is that
one second, didn't I just say that? Oh, you mean what's it called, by your own personal thing?
Yeah.
The I don't know, I have to think about it. I was thinking because last time there were a lot of takalas and people were resetting them, that for the yechidim it was not mumlats. Whether somebody has a system and it works and they know that if it goes off they're not going to put it back on, I can't asser things that the chora or mutter. Even though, again, there's a place to be machmer and not to use these computerized things for anything more that you could water by hand. There is a sheet that holds, even if you set it up before, you set it up before Shemitah and it's more than what you can water regularly by hand,
well,
that you can't use it.
We told my husband, the bare minimum for it to stay alive.
Yeah, that's already, for that you don't really need the computer. You can... Okay, in any case, that's just to save you bother. Okay, if you're going to do that, you can set it up again, as long as you set it up, right, with the bare minimum. We're talking now where you want to set up a computer and water more than the bare minimum. Right? If you do it before Shemitah, that's okay. That I don't advise people to. Okay. Okay, now, watering itself, forget about the computer. You don't have a computer. And you have to do it by hand. Then in the winter, for the most part, watering is not allowed at all. Depends how much rain there is or whatever. Usually in the winter it's not necessary. The gardener will make those decisions, what is necessary. You can only water those things that if you didn't water them, they'd be irreparably, significantly damaged or would die. Things that were not irreparable, grass that will turn brown but will revive after Shemitah, if you water them again, right, can't be watered. Now, people told me that their grass never revived. Right? So nobody told the grass that it will come back. What?
We're still saying just during the winter? Or now we're saying the whole year?
No, it's saying basically the whole year. The thing is like this. Even in the summer, if the grass will turn brown, but after Shemitah you can rewater it and it'll come back, you can't water it. You can't water it just that it should look nice. Or come back. What's it called? Be revived. You can only water it to save it from permanent, irreparable damage. So there are other people who told me that because they didn't water their grass properly, I guess it depends on different kinds of grasses. That's why I'm not the one making these decisions. Ultimately, it's the gardener. He knows about these things. I have no idea about them. But he knows that part, and when he'll tell me of his part, I'll tell him my part, and together we'll tell you what to do and what not to do. But there are obviously kinds of grasses that doesn't apply to, that if you don't water it, it'll die and it'll never come back. Then you can water it as much as necessary and not one bit more. And you have to water just what's necessary and not let it go to other plants. Right? If you can control it where it only goes on the parts of the plants or those plants that need the water, then you can't just water indiscriminately and water plants that don't need the water. So the watering is going to have to be done in a very, very meticulous way. And if you, again, set up the computer after Rosh Hashanah or restart it after Rosh Hashanah, then you can only water by the computer what you could water by hand. In other words, that exact amount of water that will be determined. So you don't really gain anything from the computer. Bechlah. You can do the same thing by hand. You can't do anything more than computer. The only thing the computer can benefit you, except from making your life easier, is that you could water indiscriminately if you set everything up before Shemitah and never adjust it after that. Right? That's the only thing the computer can help. Okay. So watering will, what's it called, will be dependent on case by case situation, everybody's garden, which things you can water, which not, and the gardener will have a list of things that you can water, how to water it, the lawns that are here or whatever, and you have to stick to that amount of water, frequency of watering, and so on. Okay.
In order to clarify, when you said by
hand, you mean not by hand, we have to hold the hose, but manually turn on the faucet, but
the sprinkler will be
private
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By hand,
meant
not
by a computer. Okay. Okay, now another shaila about watering. And here Rabbi Eliyashiv is machmer. And others are makel. Watering, well, you're not watering the plants on purpose, but it's a result of some other act that you're doing. For instance, you have an air conditioning unit that lets the water drip over plants. The exit of the drain that goes over plants. So, if you put that bedafka there to water your plants, then you have to redirect it. If you decided that you're going to save money on watering your plants and you made your air conditioning bedafka water the plants, then that's also according to everybody, and you should redirect the line before Shemitah, or put a big bucket underneath there to catch the water and put bleach in the bucket. So if it overflows, right? First of all, you can just catch it before it overflows and pour it out somewhere else. But if you don't want to have to keep looking to see, you should put bleach in the bucket, and then whatever water overflows will overflow with bleach, which definitely will not help your plants. Somebody has to put something in the water, okay? Whatever. Yeah, we're not talking about mosquito control, we're talking about Shemitah. So if you have a problem with mosquito control, right? Okay. An ordinary Shabbos is not as chomer as this. An ordinary Shabbos, first of all, you don't turn your air conditioner on Shabbos. You turn it on before Shabbos. If you would never turn your air conditioner on except right before Shemitah and leave it on for the duration of Shemitah, it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is you turn the air conditioner on during Shemitah. That's just like turning your air conditioner on Shabbos. That doesn't happen here, I hope. So therefore, it's different than Shabbos. Okay, again, no question, please, because we're never going to finish this, and everybody just loses their train of thought, including me. Okay, so if you have an air conditioning that's not on purpose watering the plants, you just, that's what happens to be. You don't really care one way or the other if you water your plants that way or not. So many poskim hold that that's okay. You can turn on the air conditioner even during Shemitah. It's all a grumma, and it's not mechaven, and it's a psikresha de lo nichale, and it's mutter. Rav Yoshev holds it as asher. And therefore, if you can either redirect the pipe, and here we will be matter the following. If the pipe, the drain, will drain on, not directly on the plants, but drain on concrete, even if later on it'll flow onto the grass or onto plants, secondary, that's mutter. That much will matter here. So if it drips onto cement, you don't have to then see to it that that doesn't eventually drip onto your plants. That's okay. If you can easily put a bucket there, again with bleach in it, so if it overflows on the plants, it'll be overflowing water that's not a fit for cultivating, for agriculture, that's also fine. But to drip directly on the plants, even if you didn't do that with Kavana, you should see to it that it doesn't do that.
If it's just weeds, is that the same thing?
What?
If it's just weeds that are being made to grow by the dripping...
Weeds yeah. that you don't really care about?
Yeah.
Weeds that you don't care about are okay. If it's totally things that you don't, you'd rather they don't grow. Yeah, then it's okay.
Okay. Cement block under such a drip?
Yes. And then it will drip from there, secondary to something else, yes. If it drips directly on the cement, it's okay. Okay, next. Okay, we said again, hoeing, weeding, all kinds of other agricultural things besides planting, plowing, and harvesting, right, in situations where it may cause irreparable damage, it could be mutter to do. Again, every case has to be asked to the gardener. He'll bring the list to me, and then as things go on during the year, people need to do things that they think if they don't do them to their plants, they're going to die or be damaged. We'll decide what's mutter and what's aser. Okay. Any questions on this before we get into the house? Yeah?
What about the
expunger? Okay, fine. That's the next thing I was going to say. That's worse than the air conditioner, because that's not a grommer. That's direct. To push your mop water outside. So first of all, if it's mixed with detergent, detergent usually is not harmful to plants. It's the opposite. It's like it's phosphates. It's good. What's it called? Fertilizer. So that reminds me of fertilizer. Okay. So that you should not let that water go directly on plants. That's according to everybody. Not really, but the way we know about it here. You can sponge it out onto concrete. And if after that it flows by itself onto the plants, you don't have to worry about that either.
So, like, if you sponge it out and go onto merpeset,
right?
Finished merpeset,
right?
And then it goes down the stairs, and as it goes down the stairs, it goes onto the plants. That's not.
If it goes immediately onto the plants from when you push it out, it's not, you know, a slow process. Then you shouldn't do that. If it's you're doing on the merpeset, it stays on the merpeset for a while, and then as it accumulates, it goes down the steps. And eventually gets to the plants that you can be making. Even there, it's better than to mix the sponge of water with something that's not good for plants, and then for sure it's okay. Yeah. All right, hold on for a second. All right, that reminds me of fertilizers. Fertilizers, if you use fertilizers now, that will... be on the ground and basically take care of the whole Shemitah year from what you put in the before Shemitah. That's the best. There are slow release fertilizers. Those are different. Slow release fertilizers are activated by watering. If you put it in a place where it never needs watering, just the rains water it, then you could use slow release fertilizer. But if you use slow-release fertilizer that is activated when you're going to water your plants during Shemitah, then that's considered like you're fertilizing them during Shemitah. That's why the slow-release fertilizer that I prohibited last Shemitah, after thinking about it and looking into it, was that kind of slow-release fertilizer that was activated by watering. And therefore, that's awesome. So... if it's stuff that either you're not going to water that, it's just the rain that's going to water it, or even if you water it, but it's not activated by the watering, it does its job whether it's watered or not watered, then you can put fertilizer down before Shemitah and just leave it there throughout the whole Shemitah. But if it's slow release, activated by watering in a place where you're going to have to water at some point during the year, then don't use that slow release fertilizer even before Shemitah.
I wanted to ask about emptying the swimming pool, the kids' swimming pool.
Okay, emptying the pool, to let the kids play in the pool on grass is okay, because that's completely not the kavana, and the kids are splashing. It's not the, to empty it onto grass is the same thing as sponge water. So either you should put bleach into the water before you empty it while the kids are out. unless you want to solve two problems at one time. You should pour it again onto concrete, and then if it slowly oozes onto grass, stays on the concrete, even better.
What about pouring it into weeds or into...
Pour into weeds that you really don't want the weeds.
Or like not something that's not planted. So you prefer that it doesn't grow.
Directly on them is still a... But directly on the sponge of water, Mishtam, is also the same thing. It's a separation of the Mishtam, and on a weeded area, it's okay to... If it's not plants that you are interested in having grow, right, just the opposite. You'd rather not have these weeds altogether. That's okay. Same thing with sponge. Yeah.
Okay. I have a broken drain pipe under my caravan.
Sorry to hear that.
It was great for watering the plants until Shemitah came. It waters two cactuses. Should I just rip them out?
One second. That we pay the water bill.
No, it's on the drain.
No, it's what?
When I shower, it goes out from, instead of going into the sewer, it goes into the drain.
Okay, we don't pay anything.
So shower.
Hey, we would have to say to fix the drain. Good, leave it like that. Just pick up the cactuses. Just tear out the cactuses. Yeah. What?
I can't get under there. I mean, maybe you can.
A brick? No, and you don't want these cactuses to grow? You want them to remain there?
Honestly, I really don't really care about the appearance of the caravan so much as they're there, so they're nice. But like,
they're nice.
The drain is not near the cactus, though.
No. And redirect the drain or make it drip on something else first.
I don't think I could access it. There's this much space on the caravan, I can't get under there. Okay. I mean, don't know, then I'm sure.
The drain is nowhere near the cactus. It just it gets down to the cactus.
It drops on the ground.
It drops on the ground and then comes down all the way to the cactus.
Eventually.
Yeah. When you take a big shit, like a shower, whatever.
And what's directly under there?
Dead cats and stuff.
What? Nothing can grow under the caravan. He said there's two cactuses. They're near. It's okay.
Near the ground of a building, but what about off the building? If you have stuff left over from the building, you want to clear that away.
Are you planning to plant there?
Not this year, no.
But after that, yes? But after that, yes? It's an area that's basically being cleared for planting, eventually.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's an eyesore, so you want to get rid of what's
there. So then you can take off the top layer and just leave something down there that won't be cleared away till after Shemitah.
By the way, the rabbi has the same thing at his house, but he's just driving the caravan.
What?
He went through the spirit of the caravan, the rabbi has it at his house.
I do.
Water the bamboo that comes into the door to the human spirit's house. That bamboo is water from your shower.
Coming out of our...
Directly?
Yes.
I mean, whenever the shower water goes directly on that bamboo, it does a good job.
No more showers.
Okay, I'll have to check into it.
What about for trees? What about for plants, like a rose bush, which is like a flower, but it can get to be pretty big? So to keep it down, like you cut down the leaves every now and then, is that the same thing? Trees, bushes,
they're all the same thing.
It's all the same thing.
Right. If it's not going, if they're, it's possible for the following two reasons to be able to do something like pruning. One is because you have these bushes for ornamental reasons, and they look terrible, and you just want to make them look nicer. And the second reason is because if you don't prune it, it may irreparably damage the bush. Under those two circumstances, there are ways of doing it permissibly. If you have such a, if that's what you want to do, speak to the gardener and we'll discuss it and see what's okay and what's not.
And then is this gardener going to be doing the work?
For the moshav?
For the private homes.
Private homes, I don't know. He's hired to do the moshav thing. I guess if people want to hire him separately, but he's going to advise me as to what you know, what has to be done or what can be done.
If somebody
can't
in the moshav has hired a private gardener that's not this gardener,
right?
Then they can come ask you their own questions.
Yeah, fine. That's, yeah.
Are you okay with people coming to you with their own questions
with
their own gardener, or does it have to go through the moshav gardener?
No, just that the moshav gardener is. I sat down and spoke to him what we're following, what not. As long as the gardener doesn't pass in shilas, he just comes and tells me what the metzias is. That's fine. Yeah.
Cutting dead branches off trees to make a barbecue set. Do you want to do that?
It depends how it's cut. If it's cut, I understand. But if it's cut in a way that'll make the tree grow better, right? Then it's also even if you are intentional.
No effect on the tree. A dead branch. You cut off a dead branch of
right.
a tree. No, it has no effect on the tree. It's dead.
I
understand. Again, I'm not a gardener. I don't know that cutting off a dead branch has no effect on the tree. It may be that having a dead branch connected to the tree, right, affects the tree, that if that branch will be taken off completely, the tree will grow better. If you cut it off and leave part of the dead branch on, it won't grow better. I don't know. I have to hear from a gardener. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not a gardener. Yeah?
I either misunderstood or I just got totally lost. The first reason that the Rav just told basically about the rose bush,
right.
it's an ornamental thing and it doesn't look nice, you're allowed to do that?
No, if you're doing it and it has no effect on the tree, and the only thing it does is make it look nicer, and it won't, after Shemitah, be able to be fixed up. Oh, okay, that I forgot to say. In other words, it's going to grow crooked, and your tree then is going to look terrible, and you have this thing for ornamental purposes, then it's possible you'll be able to trim it off so it shouldn't become crooked and not look nice the rest of the time. Because damage to its appearance is also called a permanent damage. But if after Shemitah you can easily prune it and it'll grow normal and it'll look nice, then that's not okay to do. Talking where the nice looks like the grass will turn brown permanently. Then, and it won't come back after Shemitah, then that's also something to look, you want it to look nice. But if it's just going to be temporarily not look nice, that's not enough reason to do it.
What if it's dangerous, like you have a rose bush and there's a branch sticking out across the path that one of the kids could run into?
Okay, so there also, you're not doing it for the sake of the tree. If it's done in a way that does not benefit the tree, and there are ways of doing it like that, and ways of doing it, depends how much you cut, how much you leave. If you cut it all on one side, you don't cut it around the tree or whatever, that's what the gardener will advise. But yeah, there are heterim for sure, to clear a path, to cut for schach, to cut it off if it's overhanging your sukkah, or all these things. You're not doing it for the sake of the tree. And then if you do it in a way that does not aid the tree, then that's mutter.
Even a grapevine?
Even a grapevine? Probably not.
I have a grapevine that hits me in the face every summer.
Yeah.
So in order for us to get home, we have got to cut this grapevine back.
Grapevines are much more serious because that's an issa d'oraisa.
Right.
Try to cut it down as much as you can now. So by the summer, what?
Can I tie it back in the next summer?
Just to keep it out of the way.
It
depends. Sometimes tying is also us, or if you're tying it up in a way that will help the tree. When it becomes a problem, then ask and we'll find out a way to take care of it.
Okay, so we should cut it back now.
If there's nothing you can do, like cut it back now as much as you can, and after, when the summer comes and it gets bigger again, then we'll see what
to do. Cutting the branches off the thing, or the things that you need, Is there any limitation of the amounts? Because we usually during Sukkot, when I cut a
rose. No, the Isra of Betsira and Katsira is only on things that have Kedusha Shvias. Branches are used for Schach don't have Kedusha Shvias. There's no Isra there.
No, but as far as pruning the tree.
What? Pruning is what?
I was asking as far as the pruning.
No, as long again, you have to do it in a way that you're doing it not for the sake of the tree, and you have to do it in a way that will not benefit the tree. So that's included in whatever the way is that won't benefit the tree. Doing it all on one side or whatever, that's the thing. How much you do is irrelevant. The more out of it, sometimes the more you take off, the worse it is for the tree. You want to take off everything or whatever. But that's not the ikkar. The ikkar is how is it done in a way that the tree will not benefit from it. That's all. And that depends on the tree. It depends on what the things are. Again, that's not my department. That somebody else will decide. And when he'll tell me this is the way to do it that won't benefit the tree, then fine. I don't know how to. I don't know whatever. Okay. And I don't plan to learn it before Shemitah either. I'm not a gardener, so I can't answer that question. That's what you need a gardener for. Okay. I see that we're not going to get in the house. Okay, in the house, let me just give you a hakdama, and we'll devote next week's shiur to this. We'll still have another shiur before Rosh Hashanah, so we can get to how to deal with the vegetables that will be Kedusha Shvias. Probably there will be vegetables of Kedusha Shvias immediately after Rosh Hashanah, and how to deal with them that we'll be able to take care of in the Wednesday night before Rosh Hashanah. But next week we'll speak about house plants, means plants inside the house. Okay, there we'll see there's a difference between if it's in a planter, what kind of planter, if it's on the first floor, second floor. There are differences, and it is possible, even theoretically, even Lemaisa, we're not knowing like that, even to plant things in certain kinds of planters in your house. We'll see that we're going to be machmir not to do that. But at least to take care of these things without any of these considerations, just take care of them normally. There are ways of having plants in your house that you don't have to worry about how much you water them, and if you prune them, and all the other things are irrelevant if you have them in the right kind of planter with the right kind of separation from the ground, and it's in the house or in a patio that's roofed and has walls around it. So that's what we'll get to in Mitzvah next week, taking care of indoor plants. In a way that all that we said today about outdoor plants won't apply. Yeah.
The Rav didn't touch about speaking flowers and.
I know we didn't. That has to do with Kedusha Shvias and how to deal with eating or dealing with whatever.
No, but you can harvest flowers.
We didn't say anything about what?
You can cut flowers.
Cut flowers that are not made for fragrance. Everybody holds, and that are not don't have any fragrance. You can cut. They're not shvichin. What's it called? Flowers that have fragrance or whatever have Kedusha Shvias, and we'll see if they're Svichim or not. It's not. It depends what kind of flowers they are. If they're annuals or not, the things that need to be planted constantly, or they're like roses or whatever. Those are not. Those are. They have Kedusha Shvias, and they are not Svichim. But we'll get to that. It's not.
So garlic and onions and things like that. We'll get.
Those are vegetables. Yeah. The gabi kedusha shvias and the gabi what you're allowed to eat, what not allowed to eat. That'll be the shiur before Rosh Hashanah.